Holmes, and we're back for another afternoon of Zero Point Radio. Today's a special day. We're live from Petaluma, California, the ION, the Institute for Noetic Science, where the International Theosophical Conference is being held. And we're actually going to, people participating in the conference are actually here, going to be here in our audience and take in our show today. And we're going to have several theosophists on to share their experience and background and studies in this very important theosophical teaching. Theosophy, the word theo means God, sophia means wisdom. So theosophy is usually translated as divine wisdom. And it was expounded and formulated by H.P. Blavatsky. I like to call Madame Blavatsky a holy world star. To me, she is one of the idols of my life, and her work stands unique and alone in modern times. Manly Hall, a scholar, once described Blavatsky's secret doctrine as undoubtedly the magnus opus of the literature of the modern world. It's incredible that this profound teaching has not been more widely and publicly acknowledged and investigated. Even in modern times with New Age teaching, although many New Age ideas come from Blavatsky, people do not realize the full extent of her influence on Western occultism. She has been described as the grandmother of Western occultism. Blavatsky is described in one biography. Sylvia Cranston wrote, she quoted Jay Steed, an English editor, who in 1888, after reviewing Blavatsky's work, wrote of Madame, "You are a very great woman, and I do not think that anyone but yourself, either man or woman, could have written the secret doctrine. Nor do I feel competent from the depth of my ignorance even to express an opinion about its extraordinary contents. I do not profess to understand you, but you inhabit space of more dimensions than I can even conceive. And I am not so great a fool as to be unable to see that you have a genius quite transcendent." That's from Sylvia Cranston. So this afternoon we'll be focusing on the work of H.P. Blavatsky, and I have several guests. I'll introduce my first co-host here, who was on 2 weeks ago. This is the third of a series of three shows we've been doing on theosophy. And this first guest and co-host is Odin Townley. Odin is from the United Lodge of Theosophists based in New York City. He's been the organizer of this conference and a lifelong student of theosophy and Blavatsky's ancient wisdom teachings. He's also served as a science editor for www.blavatsky.net. And he's also associated, you might also check out theosophysandiego.org, I think. But yes, .org. Thanks, Odin. No, Odin nodded here. We're both in the same room together on our cell phones. Okay, so it's been an exciting conference, and we're preparing for an interesting show. Odin, welcome.
Hi, Chris. It's great to be here in sunny California, literally sunny, very sunny California. It's beautiful up here on the hills in Petaluma. We're at the ION's Institute of Noetic Sciences Retreat Center, and it's honoring the birth and genius of H.P. Blavatsky, as you said. The program we're running these 3 days here on this weekend is Theosophy and New Frontiers of Science. And we're looking forward to your presentation tonight as well. It's been that area, as well as to a number of other programs that we have running this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a thrill to be here, and you seem to have a special connection to ION. I understand, Odin, that you actually brought Dean Radin to New York City, didn't you?
Yes, but not kicking and screaming. He'd actually was already, we'd already been speaking about him in our classes, and through a friend we connected up with him, and he was more than happy to come and speak to us in New York, and we had a wonderful program with him. We also filmed that and recorded it. We have several discs now that we've been distributing about that program. And he, I actually came up here, I guess it was last year about this time, to meet with him and to see if he was willing to come down. And at the same time, we decided to have our conference this year here at ION. So it was a great exchange we had. And he showed me his laboratory, where he obtained all his results from his consciousness studies. I know that was just a fascinating tour. So it's just wonderful to be back here again and having Theosophy, bringing Theosophy home, actually, in a way, because they're, one of their emeritus directors actually made the point that Blavatsky was really part of their foundations. So I think we're buddies in the womb, so to speak, in the metaphysical womb. So it is wonderful.
It's amazing. I think Theosophy, more so than any other teaching I know, in a way rejects this whole dogmatism and irrationality that we find in other religious and cult teachings. And Blavatsky just epitomized this concept of looking towards, like, acknowledging the hidden mysteries of all these different traditions and seeking to synthesize different occult traditions as well as science and philosophy. A quite remarkable teaching. I know of nothing else. Do you know of anything else in modern times in the past century or anyone who comes near to Blavatsky?
No. Well, not in the past century, but we'd have to go back to Platonic times, probably to the Greeks, and then past that... And, of course, Hypatia and the initiates of that time, ancient Egypt. And Blavatsky draws on all of those ancient streams of noetic knowledge and presents them in a Western, which is accessible to the Western mind. And this is what is so really important about spreading the teachings in her own as she presented them. Because her and her master teachers knew what they were doing. They knew that it was time to represent the ancient teachings, and in 1875 they did just that. So here we are in 2007, continuing the tradition here at IONS, who is also continuing the tradition in their own way. So various organizations and groups are coming together and forming coalitions, and in all over the world, actually, in all of these different related fields, which are based on the idea that the whole world is really connected. We just want to make that a reality on this plane. To say that we're spiritually connected is one thing. It may be true, but how do you make it work on this plane? And I think that's the practical business that we're about, is trying to make that happen.
Well, I think you've really made an excellent effort, Odin, this year with this conference in making the effort to have all the lectures taped and videoed, and you're going to offer educational material and make the lectures and workshops available to other people and even post some of the material up on YouTube and on the Internet. I think that's most important. It's like, Theosophy, we've got New Age here. We'll move into the New Age and make the teachings of Theosophy available to a wider audience. I think people, so many teachings and ideas come and go. Something, say for instance, the bleep or what the bleep or a movie like that or the secret things that become popular, which have just elements, like little particles of Blavatsky's teaching, and people become enamored by these newfangled teachings or ideas, but they really have no understanding of the depth and breadth of something like Theosophy. And that's why we're here, and that's it's an honor to be here and to have another show on Theosophy, which will be continuing Theosophical teachings on an ongoing basis over this radio show.
Well, thank you for bringing your radio program to the sunny hills of Petaluma, California. It's really an amazing coalition of forces here now that you've arrived.
Yeah, it's really quite peculiar to think that, you know, our broadcaster, we sit here together and this is available around the world to people, and that's really quite thrilling. We'd like to thank BBS Radio for providing this opportunity. I'd also like to thank Miss Special K, who's piping our show into some Pal Talk rooms as well.
Well, as BBS Radio, it says the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. So away we go.
Okay, so we have a guest. I mean, we're going to wait a while to introduce our other first guest today because we have some of the members here are still having lunch, so we'll hold off a few moments. But in the interim, our first guest is going to be discussing some of the issues of religion and science and looking at docking and the God delusion and trying to raise these issues of God and science in the light of Blavatsky's teaching. Before we do that, when I was revising my book here called God, Science, and the Secret Doctrine, which we hope to have published through Point Loma Publications in the fall, and I just want to quote this Madame Blavatsky from one of her books called The Key to Theosophy. I quoted this once before, but I think this is such an astonishing quote. An inquirer said to Blavatsky, "Do you believe in God?" And Blavatsky answered, "That depends what you mean by the term." The inquirer says, "I mean the God of the Christians, the Father of Jesus and the Creator, the biblical God of Moses, in short." And Blavatsky responded, "In such a God, we do not believe. We reject the idea of a personal or an extra-cosmic and anthropomorphic God who is but the giant shadow of man and not of man at his best either. The God of theology, we say, and prove it, is a bundle of contradictions and a logical impossibility. Therefore, we will have nothing to do with him." Elsewhere in The Secret Doctrine, Madame says, "The Secret Doctrine admits a logos, or a collective creator of the universe, a demiurgos, in the sense implied when one speaks of an architect as the creator of an edifice. Whereas that architect has never touched one stone of it, but while furnishing the plan, left all the manual labor to the mason. In our case, the plan was furnished by the ideation of the universe, and the constructive labor was left to the host of intelligent powers and forces. But that demiurgos is no personal deity, but only the aggregate of the Dehan Chohan and the other forces." Now, the point in part of this, Blavatsky, in one sense, yes, of course there is a God. She's presenting us with the divine wisdom teaching, explaining the nature of the absolute, of the ultimate. But she doesn't see God in an anthropomorphic and personalized way. Instead, she offers a profoundly alternative view of the metaphysics of creation. Not only does she say that there is indeed a God, what people would call God, but she also provides a model or an explanation of how that being manifested and the universe, or created the universe, through what she calls the Dayan Chohan, which are the seven luminous suns of the seven divine intelligences, which are the architects, which give rise the intelligence, which is then embodied in material creation. It's a shame, Odin, that more people don't really have an appreciation of this deeper concept of God. It's like our old concepts of God belong in the 15th century.
Yeah. Well, I know that we often point out the fact that in the Bible, it's in the beginning, it speaks about, it uses the word God, but actually the God, the word for God in Hebrew is Elohim. But Elohim actually is a plural word. Now, why are we translating it as a singular word? And this is the whole key to understanding how we've gotten so mixed up, and we've come down the pike so far away from the original teachings, which is that God is not a singular figure at all, but is rather a hierarchy, a creative hierarchy. So once we see that picture, then a lot of the what seem to be complex metaphysics start to fall into place, and we understand how creation can take place in many different ways. It explains some of the mistakes, so-called, in evolution, which the evolutionists hold against the creationists. And we see how they balance out each other in their errors and mistakes. You know, it all comes down to an intelligent hierarchy, not a single God. And I think that's key to understanding this whole situation.
It seems that in modern times, all these debates between science and religion, creation and evolution, they're all formulated in a simplistic way, and it's Blavatsky's teaching belies that simple God versus science, because she believes in God, or articulates the concept of God, but she has an articulate scientific model of this process of divine creation. And that's what seems to totally missing in public awareness in this area.
Yeah. Well, Chris, what are you going to cover today? What are you planning to cover? You have an interview, don't you, with one of our guests?
Well, I thought I'd hold off a few more minutes and just wait for people to assemble more. And she's here with us now, but I'll hold off, and people are coming back from lunch, and we can fill in some time. I wanted to read a couple quotes about Blavatsky's comments about the secret doctrine and its relationship to science. One, she says, "To make of science an integral whole necessitates indeed the study of spiritual and psychic as well as physical nature. Without metaphysics, real science is inadmissible." So here it's like modern people talk about evolution, but they think evolution is only a physical thing. They have no idea of spiritual evolution. That this also, Blavatsky would say, yes, there's evolution of material forms, as well as there's evolution in terms of the spiritual sense. And modern debates on the topic of evolution do not even consider the spiritual dimensions to it.
Yes, unfortunately so. And the materialistic overlay on not just evolution, but in all many different fields, as unfortunately Neo-Darwinism has infected just about every scientific specialty there is, from biology anthropology. Everything is seen from the position that first of all, is alone or created by an all-wise being, but that it's either that or it's the fact that we came up from the slime and just by accident happened to, through some convergence of various proteins and other chemicals coming together, and maybe an adventitious bolt of lightning got ourselves to the place we are today. Now, a lot of people, even in the scientific community, find that extraordinary conclusion based on the complexity of life as we know it today.
Yeah, it's funny what a dominant feature that is in modern science. I call it like accident theory. You know, when I read Carl Sagan, the numerous other scientists, you know, everything, it's like fortunate random mutations. All the mutations are random and they happen by chance to be better adapted. So, and everything is seen as random or fortuitous. But I remember Blavatsky saying nature is not simply a fortuitous concurrence of atoms. Instead, there's an intelligence which is embodied in these formative processes.
Yeah, one of the fundamentals that she points out, I think, is well to repeat here, that is one, the recognition of the astral matrix, or the plan or the which is embedded in, if you want to call it matter, but it's matter of a very fine grade of matter, which is sometimes called astral, the astral plane or the astral matrix. Well, what happens here is that it's very similar to a holding a magnet under a paper and sprinkling the top of the paper with iron filings. Now, when those iron filings hit the paper, if there was no magnet there, of course, they would just randomly jump back and forth and fall into sort of a random pattern. But as soon as you put a magnet under it, all the filings immediately assume a pattern based on the magnetic fields that they're encountering. Well, this is the same basic thing that the metaphysics physicians all down through history have been telling us, that behind and within the structure of the universe, in fact, the structure of every molecule, and even the atoms follow this pattern of design, is this, in fact, a sub-level matrix which forms the basis on which all the molecules and atoms arrange themselves. And how did that plan come into being, or how did that arrangement come about? Well, that's when we talk about mind. That's when we get into the intelligence of the universe. That's when we get into the hierarchies. That's when we talk about the fact that nothing happens by itself. There's always a plan. We know in life everything we do that looks at all organized, or at all, we see an intelligence there, and that intelligence infers some sort of planning or planner or planners. So it's not that we're holding one side against the other. We're saying, hey, you guys belong together. You should put your physical sciences together with your metaphysical sciences, and then, and only then, will you be approaching some reasonable approximation of the way things really are?
Well, what a beautiful analogy you drew, Odin, using that example of the iron filings and then a magnet giving influencing the distribution and shape that those iron filings assume. And it's like the magnetic field of the magnet is actually inherent, is in space, but the field is actually invisible to us. The field is latent in space, but invisible to us. But it forms, it's like what Sheldrick would call a morphogenic field. It is the underlying field of intelligence within which the material elements are given form. I think that's such a useful example. I really like that. The other thing I meant to say, I understand that in Volume 2 of The Secret Doctrine, Anthropogenesis, I understand that one of the fundamental propositions of Blavatsky's second book of The Secret Doctrine is that the astral body is formed before the physical body. So as you say, it forms like a template. And this template would be invisible to physical perception and yet latent within space. I really like that analogy with the iron. And it's also, it's so applicable to Blavatsky because she describes all the phenomena of nature are variations of electromagnetic influence and force.
Well, the electromagnetic spectrum is only a small fraction of the total spectrum as we know it. We know that scientifically is a fact. But what is not being perceived is the dark matter and the dark energy. That's a mystery right now. And yet, science has come up with it. It's their baby. They've got to come up with an explanation for it. And so far, they haven't been able to. Now, this is actually a very close to metaphysics now. Physics is coming closer and closer to putting META in front of their the name. So with that, we've got the A. Maybe we've got A physics or Ta physics.
Oh, meta in front of the physics.
We don't have the whole meta yet. But and in fact, there's another meta that Blavatsky puts on, and she would, in The Secret Doctrine, talks about meta physics.
Yeah.
And we wonder what that is. But that must be something for the future, certainly. But right now, we're struggling to figure out what dark matter and dark energy are, and the very fact that they have become a requirement, actually, in physics and cosmogony is astounding. that they've come this. And it's all Blavatsky's prediction that modern science would eventually have to come around to the ancient teachings. So here we are, and we're in 2007, and the Blavatsky's predictions are coming true one by one.
Yeah, it's interesting. Blavatsky, when she published The Secret Doctrine, said no one in this century will consider The Secret Doctrine, but that in the century to come, people will realize that The Secret Doctrine has neither been invented nor exaggerated. It was like we needed a century of advance in modern science to get to the point where we could understand some of the deeper teachings of The Secret Doctrine. It was just too far ahead of her time. Here's another interesting quotation. Blavatsky writes, "Occultism does not deny the certainty of the mechanical origin of the universe. It only claims the absolute necessity of mechanisms of some sort behind these elements or within. A dogma with us. It is easy for an astronomer to build a theory of the emergence of the universe out of chaos by simply applying to it the principles of mechanics. But such a universe will always prove, with respect to its scientific human creator, a Frankenstein monster. It will lead him into endless perplexities. The application of the mechanical laws can never carry the spectator beyond the objective world, nor will it unveil to man the origin and final destiny of the cosmos." And I think what this shows is, in modern science, because they lack a metaphysical perspective, scientists always get so far in their studies, and then they face enigmas. Things which are inexplicable in terms of their mechanistic framework. For me, one of the most important examples of this is the generation of the human heartbeat. In modern science, it's recognized the heartbeat is produced by the SA node and the AN node and the bundle of His, and the heartbeat is generated from within the heart. And these cells of the heart have this inherent capacity for the generation of electrical impulses. But in modern science, this is an enigma that nobody can explain how the heartbeat is generated within a living being. And they think that the cause of the generation of the heartbeat, they think it has to be due to mechanical influences. But because they can't explain it in terms of mechanical influences. So it again shows how if science doesn't have a metaphysical perspective, their findings bring us to a point where we face enigmas and issues we just can't resolve. I think another example of that is the uncertainty principle in modern physics. Blavatsky's description of Lyra centers or zero-point centers provides a profoundly alternative interpretation of the enigmas of the uncertainty principle. I won't go into that today, but next week I'm going to have one of the attendees to our conference, John Dreyas, on with my show with me, because he's a scientist who's wrote in the Symposium on Secret Doctrine, published in 1984, and he wrote an article on what is the matter with gravity. And see, in a way, Blavatsky said gravity doesn't exist, not as we think it works. Instead, she said it was really a form of electromagnetism and involved the mysterious nature of the ether. But scientists rejected the ether for the past century. And Blavatsky said the ether is primary. She said you'll never understand the laws of nature without understanding the mysterious nature of the ether. So a century after the ether was rejected in the early part of the 20th century, now the ether has reemerged in science. It's called the zero-point field or the quantum vacuum.
Yeah. Well, with gravity, one of the main issues with gravity that she pointed out was not that it's considered just, well, that's just attraction, but actually it's really a twofold force, which includes attraction and repulsion. And it's really interesting that in the last few years, they have actually come up with that notion now. they're throwing in the repulsion every so often. You hear this attraction and this duality coming up with gravity, and it's very interesting to notice how that's emerging. And in every field, anthropology, for instance, it just came across the internet. They've discovered two different skulls now, humanoids, which now are contradicting the standard model of evolution, of straight line evolution, and we've got two different lines of humanoids developing at simultaneously, which is going to throw anthropology into a spin, or already has thrown it into a spin. What about biology? This whole argument about what they used to call junk matter, and still junk DNA, and they're still calling it junk DNA. Now it comes out that what was thought to be junk is actually have a very active role in the process of forming the DNA process. So what we're running up against in many different fields is that we've only scratched the surface, and that what becomes a standard model today is going to be overthrown, and a new standard model is going to come up next week or next month. And all these sciences are moving very rapidly at this time. It's a very interesting time to be on the scene, and both in medicine, archaeology, anthropology, biology, cosmology.
Yeah. Psychology. I'm going to add psychology in there.
We have to, after we had that amazing presentation, two presentations by Dr. Levy, and by Helena Karakazi just earlier this today on the mysteries of the brain and how the duality of how the brain functions, and then this marvelous presentation by Eva Moberg from Sweden we just heard on holistic medicine
and the Bach flower remedies. She didn't pronounce it Bach, but she's Swedish, so I always call them Bach flower remedies. She pronounced it differently. Yes, that was so interesting. She had such an interesting aspect to her presentation. She mentioned seven major organs. It seems Bach also had this, like Blavatsky says, seven is the number of divine mysteries. And in the study of any phenomena of nature, you look for its sevenfoldness. And Bach similarly saw there to be seven primary organs. And it was so interesting what Eva was saying about how each of those organs, in a way, contains all seven organs within itself. So she gave the example of the kidney. So one of the organs is the kidney. But even all the other six organs also have the kidney component within it. So, and I forget her term, but it reminds me of the principles of holography, how the whole is contained within every part. So the whole of the system is contained within each of the seven organs. It's a fascinating view, and it also shows the relationship in modern science to the emerging holographic paradigm.
And the point also that came out very strongly was that God is in the atom. And God is in the greater cosmos, the infinite cosmos, one and the same time. They're interblended at every point, as Madame Blavatsky points out. So it's just very important to remind ourselves of these ancient teachings and how especially they apply to everything we do today. Everything we do, not just in science, but in our daily life. And I think Eva brought us into the practical daily life application of the idea of unity, compassion, brotherhood, and how that actually changes the nature of our cellular and molecular structure, if you can even say atomic structure.
Yeah, and again, it shows another area in which science has completely lacked an appreciation of the spiritual aspect in medicine. That there's no in modern medicine, they think we're simply a material biological organism, a collection of molecules, a cell. They have no concept of there being a deeper psychical, spiritual, divine nature to a human being as a living organism. And it's those deeper metaphysical dimensions which give a whole other understanding and interpretation to the physical aspect of medicine. And that, again, has been lacking in modern times. Is any, who it's only the holistic therapists who, for the past 20, 30 years, are bringing out the spiritual, holistic aspect of medicine.
It's very important, as you say, and has been pointed out all through this conference, to breaking down the materialistic barriers to understanding ourselves and understanding through ourselves the greater universe beyond, and how that is, they're all connected, really, how they all blend together, and how our thinking and how our feelings and how our actions impact everything, not just ourselves, but other people, and nature is affected by it, nature also being represented in us by our biology, by ourselves. And also in great nature, where we see things as separate from us. Well, the tree is not separate from us. There's a kidney in every cell in the body. There's a kidney in every organ. Well, there's a tree in every cell. There's a tree in every one of our organs as well.
It reminds me of how a doctor can look in your iris and assess your overall health from your iris or your ears. Again, the same idea of every thing is part of the whole. I think one of my favorite quotations from Blavatsky is her declaration that there is one absolute omniscience which thrills throughout every finite point of the universe. So it's like if we took one point anywhere in existence, somehow within that point, although invisible to us, is the deity, and hence is that omniscience. That there is a field of omniscience or intelligence and information pervasive everywhere. Like Blavatsky says, there is a correlation of all forces within the plenum, within space itself. That this is another of Blavatsky's most profound teaching, is how she regards space. Although the last century of science tended to see space as empty and void, Blavatsky says space is only empty to the finite mind, but to the mystically awakened, they realize that space is the plenum, and there's a correlation of all forces within the plenum, within empty space.
Yeah. She used a wonderful analogy. She took it from Pascal deity as a circle. Now we say, okay, well, circles are very limited things. But she went on with Pascal's analogy. It's not just a circle. It's not an ordinary circle. But deity is a circle whose circumference is nowhere and whose center is everywhere. Now, you hold that analogy for a few minutes and your mind starts to reel, because how do you have a circle whose circumference is nowhere? You're calling it a circle, but you're saying the circumference is nowhere, and you're saying the center is everywhere. What is that telling us? That's a marvelous meditation technique. Really? Well, let's move you over to this guy, and then we'll try to connect up.
Okay, and it's funny, I mean, Blavatsky then also takes that ancient axiom of the circle and gives it the alternate interpretation. Like at one point she says, a circle whose circumference is nowhere, and she said, I'm trying to get this straight, she says, a circle whose center is nowhere and circumference everywhere, but then she also explains a circle whose center is nowhere and circumference everywhere. She explained it both ways. Yeah, both ways. It's just a different way of grasping it. It's interesting how I see an understanding something like the secret doctrine. You have to understand a form of a form of higher logic. It's like quantum logic. Like in Aristotelian logic, everything is either A or not A. Whereas in Blavatsky logic or quantum logic, it is both A and not A simultaneously plus something else. I think we've lost one of the phones here. I wonder if BBS Radio could call back in on our other number. Okay,
sorry about that.
Just a brief interruption there. We were trying to deal with this profound ancient axiom, the description of a circle whose center is nowhere. Okay. And where's the circumference of the universe? Well, you don't go out traveling in the universe and come to a boundary and hit a wall.
I'm tired of waiting and my hope is fading. I'll be good enough someday. So I packed up my whole life and I had myself a good cry and I set out on my way. I said I should have known it was not about me. And I've been trying to forget. Why am I always the last one to see? It hasn't even hit me yet. Pretty little lies, pretty little dirt, pretty big surprise. Said it wouldn't hurt. Pretty little lies, pretty little dirt, pretty big surprise. Said it wouldn't hurt. It's been 3,000 hours since I saw you last. Now I've been watching the clock, and so damn much has happened since that time has passed. And I miss our little talks and our late morning coffee and our moonlit walks, holding hands down by the water. Remember that part? We were only 19, wild and wide-eyed and laughing. The year you broke my heart, you're pretty little.
need. I need something that I can believe. Someone who won't deceive me into thinking that all hope of love is gone. Give me love, give me light, give me music, give me truth, and give me heaven, give me something to believe in. Don't want no dirty money. Don't give me funny faces when I tell you that I'm not amused by the way you have betrayed. Oh yeah, that's okay. I suppose that I played along, but I didn't know better and now I know better and I'm not playing anymore. Wanna feel it in my soul. I need it. Don't want nobody else to try and take control.
Don't want it.
Don't need somebody else to save me or be saved.
Don't need it.
Don't wanna be somebody's master or a slave. And if I'm alone, turn out the light. When you close the door.
BBS Radio. We're having a little technical difficulties here, and we're trying to get the show back on the air. So bear with us, it should be up in no time flat. Keep tuning in to BBS Radio.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes, and when I want to get tuned in, tuned up, and not tuned out, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell, Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb, and went off to the Pleiades. Woo!